Hi, Mr. Bidlock?
Yes.
Hi, this is Jeffrey Hill calling.
Hi.
Hi, sorry, I just called you there a few seconds ago, but I guess you couldn't hear me when I called.
No, couldn't hear, who knows? The cell phone.
The reason I was calling you, sir, was, you know, I don't mean to bother you or anything, but I was just reading something that you had put on the internet. I guess, I don't know when you had wrote it, but it was saying how you were at the Pentagon on 9/11.
Yeah.
And it was saying, it said that you had, I guess it must have been posted on a forum. It said, I held airplane parts in my hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, the aircraft crashed into the building at the side. You know, you said, basically you said, I say there was an airplane, I saw it. And it says, am I a liar? And then it says, you know, Lieutenant Colonel Hal Biddick. Well, I don't know if you remember writing that or anything, but I was just...
It was in response to a fellow who insisted that they didn't know plane and were all part of a big conspiracy and such.
Yeah. Because, like, well, obviously you've seen or you've heard of all the conspiracies and stuff about the Pentagon, I guess.
Sure.
But, like, I was just wondering, like, did you actually see the plane with your own eyes hit the building, or did you see, like...
As I said in the film, I was inside at the time.
You were inside?
Can I ask what your interest is?
I just, personally, I've just been looking at 9/11, you know, for years, and I've, you know, read about all the conspiracies and everything, and, you know, I've believed in some of the stupid stuff myself, in the past, and, you know, I just wanted to talk to as many people as I could that, you know, were there that day, you know, and I've talked to, I don't know how many people now, that actually saw the plane, you know, with their own eyes hit the Pentagon.
Yeah, you know, that day I spoke to people who said, oh my God, I could read the word American on the side, who saw it, you know, I saw parts of the airplane in my hand, it was clearly aircraft wreckage, and that's kind of where we are. I mean, and there are people who want to believe that in my opinion, at least the most incompetent president in 100 years somehow put together this incredible conspiracy, but the forum you're seeing is the James Randi Educational Foundation forum. It's randi.org. And in fact, there's a whole section on the forum devoted to conspiracy theories about 9/11 and such. You might find that interesting to look at because we have quite a few very, very good experts. And
yeah, I'm very
personally,
familiar.
The thing that is the most offensive about these folks is the disrespect it shows to those who died and were injured and the reflection on the honor of people like me. And so when I run across these people who say, you know, there was no airplane, and it's interesting to me that even within that conspiracy world, there are hierarchies. You know, there are the no-planers, there are the missile, there are the, you know, there was a plane but it was a robot, you know, all these other things. And they all look dismissively at anyone who disagrees with them. So I just try to make it personal and say, okay, you know, I'm a real-life person with a track record in life. I've been known in different areas. And for you to be right, you have to call me a liar. Because I state emphatically that I held aircraft parts in my hand that day. And that's the only point I'm trying to make.
Like, do you, like, what was it, part of the fuselage, or do you know what they were?
Yeah, well, there was parts of seats, carpeting, the interior fuselage, yes.
So when people say, okay, well, you look at the pictures of the Pentagon, a lot of people believe that there was just, like, this 15-foot or 15-foot in diameter hole there, and they say, how could it...
And again, you've done a lot of self-education, clearly, and the Randi forum will have more on it. I don't want to spend a lot of time going over the facts, but, you know, I think it's a fundamental problem people have is that their own frame of reference is all they got, of course, and people who have flown tend to think about speeds near the ground in terms of takeoff and landing. They don't realize that that airplane was performing very near its limit of speed in excess of 500 knots. And if you know, the analogy I think is a good one is, remember that you're not talking about an anvil flying through the air. You're talking about something much more analogous to an empty toothpaste tube.
Yeah.
And, you know, imagine taking a toothpaste tube, emptying it out, you know, then reinflating it, and then slamming it into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour. You know, do you still see a tube? You know, so these folks, you know, and it's interesting, even within that community, you know, they divide about the World Trade Center. There are and I'm sure you've seen people who suggest that that there was a holographic projector and that some weapon from space, you know, melted the World Trade Towers. And they don't talk about the Pentagon. The Pentagon people who claim that there was no airplane, or that there was this mysterious white airplane orbiting with radio control of a drone painted to look like American Airlines. You know, they don't even talk to each other. So aside from the simple technical problems with their argument, like people like me who have airplane parts, like the fact that the people who were on the airplane are missing, all the facts, taken in the whole, you know, these folks put together a story that simply can't be true. And so, you know, I've avoided a lot of discussion since then. I don't want to give you the brush off here, but it's, you know, I think the facts are out there, and the folks who insist that there was no airplane at the Pentagon have to either decide that I'm lying or that I'm a dupe, you know. But I was there, I saw it, I held it, and that's what I say.
Yeah, because, like, the one that's going around on the Internet that a lot of, well, I wouldn't say a lot of people, but some people are believing are, these guys are saying that the plane flew over the Pentagon and there was bombs in the building. And,
yeah, that's nonsense. You know, it's for all the reasons you've seen in your research. And, you know, there are these individuals who are, you know, really committed to this story. And, you know, as with anything, when people spend their whole lives devoted to exposing a truth that they're convinced that they have, the facts don't often get in the way. And I think the fact that they very often will tell you what actually happened and then search for evidence to support that, rather than looking at the evidence they have and leading that to a conclusion, is instructive about their ability to do the analysis.
Well, yeah, because you see people say, oh, well, how can the lawn, it was like, you know, the green on a golf course. It was so pristine and everything.
It wasn't.
But
I'm standing on it.
Right, yeah, like there was, you see a few pictures of a little piece of fuselage here and there.
You can take a picture at the Super Bowl, you can find an angle to make it look like there are three people there. but that's why you look at the totality of the evidence. And as I say, it's awfully disrespectful to the folks. You know,
what about, were you familiar at all with, like, Norman Mineta's testimony, where he was talking about Dick Cheney and saying... And I heard a young man saying to Dick Cheney in the emergency off center, sir, the plane's 50 miles out, sir, the plane's 40 miles out. Did the order
stop? Yeah, I mean, when I was actually at my station, they basically had people in uniform kind of form a perimeter. I was at the triage area. And the rumor spread very quickly that the second airplane was on the way in. And, you know, the people knew the two airplanes that hit New York. And so there was a lot of people thinking that the second airplane was on its way to the Pentagon. Of course, we had no way of knowing it was in Pennsylvania. So, you know, even then, there was, okay, you know, the planes, we heard rumors, the plane's 20 minutes out, the plane, you know. It rumor spread.
But it gets back to
that fundamental point. If you pick one little bit of thing in isolation from everything else, you can get yourself wrapped around the axle. For example, you know, I'm no fan of George Bush, but the one thing in all this that I'll support him on, there's one fellow who's in my hometown here who is a rabid conspiracy nut, and his entire world is based around one misstatement by George Bush. What Bush meant to say in the interview is, when I first saw the video of the airplane hitting the building, what he actually misspoke and said was, when I first saw the airplane hit the building. Now,
when he saw the first plane hit the building, and people said, how could he have seen the plane hit the building? There was no
right,
building.
And what he was meaning was, when I first saw a plane hit the building, as we all did, you know, with on video, in New York, this fellow is insistent that one statement, with all other factors thrown out, every other bit of evidence, he's convinced that this was George Bush publicly confessing being a mass murderer of 3,000 Americans, including members of his own military, instead of the most incompetent president since James Buchanan having a slip of the tongue. So again, in terms of the meta statement and everything else,
yeah, but like when he said, when
piece a small enough bit of data out, you can, just like that, you know, the grass on the lawn, if you take take a picture from a particular angle, you can make it look to support anything you want. Am I sensing from your questions that you're thinking that the airplane didn't hit the building?
No, I'm absolutely, 100% say the plane hit the Pentagon. Like, not that I saw it myself, but talking to so many people that saw it, I can't say that they're all liars or part of the conspiracy.
Right.
But the only thing I always wondered about was what Dick Cheney's orders were when he said, of course the order still stands. Have you heard anything to the contrary? And it sounds like the order was a stand-down order, because it certainly wasn't a shoot-down order.
Absolutely not. I mean, I saw fighters appear overhead at the Pentagon. No, I mean, again, that's what it gets down to, is if you, and again, I'm no lover of Dick Cheney. I think he should have been impeached, frankly. Not over this, but over his incompetence in many other areas. But if you pull a particular, the New York conspiracy people are fond of the poet phrase from the gentleman who owned the building. It's very clear in context exactly what he meant. Get the firemen out of there, the building's going to fall over. But it's people who listen to a particular word and stick their fingers in their ears and insist that no other evidence matters. And I think my word of caution would be, anytime anyone insists that this one little thing is the truth and all the other evidence should be ignored, those folks may have some problems with evidence and logic and reason.
Yeah, well, I talked to the former Defense Minister of Canada before, and I asked him what he thought about 9/11, and he said, well, his only question would be is how come nobody from Andrews Air Force Base was sent up in time?
Because there are no fighters at Andrews Air Force Base. No. Fighters weren't Langley. There are no fighters at Andrews Air Force Base. I mean, it's a very simple answer.
So you accept that NORAD wasn't able to...
I have some expertise in this area. Think about up to September 10th, what was NORAD's job? It was to look out. I'm a former ICBM launch officer. We looked out for threats. And obviously, again, it gets back to parsing the data. If you look at the totality of the data, you'll see that we were simply not prepared for the idea of an attack generated within the country using the air traffic control system. The fighters at Langley were launched as quickly as they could be scrambled, but again, because there was no warning from an external support, that is, the dew line, radar looking over the poles, satellites watching the former Soviet Union, China, places like that, there's no reason that they would have been at an alert posture of launching in 5 minutes. The threat was seen as very low that day. Obviously, we know in hindsight that that was a tragic miscalculation. But if anyone ever said, how come the fighters at Andrews didn't launch? It's because there are no fighters at Andrews.
Well, I guess that would make sense.
The one at Andrews is what's called the 89th SAMS, the Special Airlift Mission, which is the presidential fleet, although they obviously fly a lot more people than the president. Congressmen, cabinet people, all that fly out of the 89th. There's some other tenant units, and it's a base in which there's a lot of base housing for military people in the D.C. area because housing's so expensive. But in terms of what used to be called TAC, it is now all operations are now in a new command, not Tactical Air Command anymore, but are based out, the fighters are based on Langley again. Why? Because Langley's on the coast. You're intercepting people coming in over the sea, over the North Pole.
Yeah, well, they said, that was what Popular Mechanics said, was they were looking outward, not inward.
That's exactly correct.
Well, I had talked to a guy from NORAD, and he said if we were notified, we would be able to launch and intercept anywhere, whether it be Michigan.
Sure. I mean, you think about, remember when the golfer Payne Stewart's airplane?
Yep.
He pressurized it. With enough warning, and this is 2 to 3 hours of notification, they were able to launch an F-16 to go along and say, son of a gun, the windows are frosted, they appear to have lost pressure, and they followed it till it crashed a couple hours later. I think in Indiana, I can't remember exactly. But in terms of warning times, remember that we're talking tens of minutes, and people also had this misunderstanding that the interior of the United States, to say nothing of Canada, that the interior of the United States is 100% radar mapped all the time. And that's not true. And what they rely on are things called transponders. I'm sure you've heard about these things, which send an identifying code to radar stations and say, here I am and here's my name. One of the first things the hijackers did was turn off the identification aspect of the transponder. So the airplanes were literally invisible except from time to time when they popped up on radar here and there. So obviously those are things that are, if it's working on ATVs and donkeys. And how could you not have been planning for a donkey ATV attack at your at the national parliament?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because nobody thought about that before now. You know, that technique will not work again in the future, but at the moment, nobody thought of it. And
like, I'm not trying to, I don't know, argue or anything, but just no. Another thought was, I seen a clip from ABC News Nightline. I think Peter Jennings or somewhere said NORAD had did exercises, and just 2 months ago they were talking of they were doing exercises of planes being crashed into the World Trade Center and a plane crashing into the Pentagon.
And I can't really talk much about the details, but the military, and I'm sure the Canadian military is the same. That's what you hope. They plan for every conceivable possible thing that they can imagine. I mean, there are war games about things that would be very surprising and are incredibly unlikely. But that doesn't mean that the day it happens, that instantly it will be recognized and instantly you can fundamentally change the radar picture of the United States.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the transponders. I had the impression that if they had turned off the transponders, then they're basically flying blind, like the pilots wouldn't have directional instruments and stuff?
No, not at all true. There's multiple instrumentation, plus the hijackers apparently had GPS units with the coordinate. I mean, you know, the same way you navigate a car. Again, these guys are not really worrying about following air lanes and altitude restrictions. They're interested in a beeline to a particular target.
Mm-hmm. So
they simply prevented the aircraft from transmitting out. They did nothing to disable any signals coming into the aircraft from GPS satellites and such. To say nothing of the radar maps, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with aircraft like that, but in terms of various instrumentation that is used on radials and direction finders, ADS as they're called. The thing I'd urge you to think about is when you look at, and I say this as a guy who thinks George Bush was the, you know, lied us into a war in Iraq. I mean, I think it's despicable. But for these people to be correct, the most incompetent president in American history had to put together the most brilliant conspiracy in American history, which required literally hundreds, if not thousands, of U.S. military personnel to renounce their oath to the Constitution and take part in the mass murder of their own citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look for, you know, well, that blade of grass wasn't turned down, or that light pole snapped off 2 feet higher than it should have, you can always find the little thing. I mean, I lost my first wife to cancer. You could certainly find in her record, well, there was this one little clue that they should have seen. Well, they were looking at hundreds of clues coming in.
You don't have any problem with the story? Like, you think we were told the truth about 9/11? Like, you don't even question, like, Building 7 coming down?
No, I mean, again, in Building 7, the fires raged for several hours. You look at popular mechanics. If you're looking for someone to confirm that somehow there was a secret conspiracy, that's not me. I think that they were willing to lie into a war in Iraq over fake intelligence about two trucks that supposedly were mobile chemical labs, when in fact they were hydrogen factories for weather balloons. They didn't, even if they wanted to lie into a war, they didn't have to go to this level. And again, do you think that I and hundreds of others of my military brothers and sisters would be complicit in mass murder of Americans and 33 other countries?
Absolutely not, no.
So, again, you know, if you want to pull out some little detail, and it's like Building 7's a classic example. They say it felt just like a controlled demolition. I defy you, I'm using the laws of physics, to knock a building of 47, 48 stories tall down and have it come down in any other way. If you have this notion that it should be like a tipping tree and go timber and over, that they don't understand inertia, they don't understand mass. So, again, I apologize for having to get off the phone and you seem like a nice fellow who's on a quest for truth. But look at the Randy forums, bring all these questions up. There are really smart people, a lot of civil engineers and others who have dedicated the rest, you know, the last 10 years to their lives to answering these questions, and they might have answers that you might find useful.
All right, yeah, well, I'm familiar with the forum. I'll go and take another look
sure.
at some of the posts.
Sure.
But, you know, thank you for talking to me, and have a good night.
Sure, I see you're in Ontario. I hope your weather isn't too bad up there. We had a high of 67 Fahrenheit here today in Colorado.
Well, I guess I'm pretty jealous then.
Yeah, it's actually a degree warmer here than it was in Fort Lauderdale, so.
Oh, that's even better. if you enjoy the cold weather, you might want to come here because it is pretty cold here right now.
I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, so I'm kind of familiar with that.
Oh, okay, so yeah, you're familiar with it, yeah.
I've been to Tucson Ring a couple of times, and I was in the summer, so stay warm.
Okay, thanks a lot, sir.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.